Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to take a bite out of the competition? Are you looking for ideas to make your business better? Welcome to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet,
sponsored by Apple Capital Group.
At the core of every successful business, you'll find people making a difference. And with each episode of the Core Business Show, we talk with those people, examine those ideas, and explore the strategies that make them special. Now, the host of the Core Business Show, Tim Jacquet.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Core Business Show. I'm Tim Jacquet, your host. Today, I have the pleasure of having a very, very special guest, Michael Lohan, who is an actor, an entrepreneur, and also, of course, he's the father of Lindsay Lohan. We have a conversation with him and talking about his career, his business, and his life. And to begin with, Michael, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Good morning. Great. Thank you for coming on the program. You have an interesting life and an interesting career.
And
I guess we would just go ahead and talk about that and kind of talk about your entrepreneurship and all the other causes that you support. I guess to begin with, kind of give us in a nutshell, tell us about yourself in your own personal way.
Well, I started out, I went to school to be an attorney. And in my third year, I wound up my godfather was one of the founders of the Commodity Exchange, and he thought that I should take the Stanley Kaplan course to take my law boards. And he said, why don't you come and work for me on the Commodity Exchange? And I did. In the meantime, I went to school at night, but I started trading oil for him and on the Mercantile Exchange, and one thing led to another, and I loved it so much I stayed down there. That life in itself, I mean, through high school and college, I just played lacrosse and took my life very seriously. But when I worked on Wall Street, it became a different story. I mean, it was all about making a lot of money and drinking and doing coke. Back in the 80s, it was it was a very free atmosphere. And I wound up working on the floor. I met my ex-wife, Dina, when I was 25. She got pregnant immediately. We had Lindsay, and then everything stopped, and we had a great life. And then 19 years later, unfortunately, my brother-in-law, my ex-wife's brother, actually I caught him smoking crack at a party my son Cody had. It was a communion party, and there was a fight that ensued, and the altercation led to him. He was in a coma for 5 days, and my wife and I got divorced, and that's when everything started to spin out of control for Lindsay and even me.
Oh, wow. So going back to your earlier days, you were born in Ireland, or were you born
no,
here in
no,
the
no, no. I have relatives that were born in Ireland. I'm half Irish, okay. Half Italian. My mom is all Italian. As a matter of fact, my mother's father and mother both own separate spaghetti companies. So I'm about as Italian as you can get on that side of the family.
Well, a little Irish as well. Wow.
Yeah, well, half Irish, half Italian. My dad was a bricklayer most of his life and wound up owning a construction company. And he's not with us anymore, but he was a wonderful, wonderful, hardworking man.
Wow. Tell us about the days of Ben Wall Street in the 80s. I mean, we're talking about the pinnacle of the culture, pinnacle of everything that you hear about Wall Street. It was glamorous. It was the thing of the 80s, and it was not only the Wild Wild West. It had its own persona. Tell us about those days.
My Lord, Tim, it was so surreal. I mean, I lived the life of Arthur, you know, the movie Arthur. I lived that life. I came from a very wealthy family, but I made it on my own on Wall Street instead of going into the family business. And I just got caught up in lifestyle. It was every single Friday when that bell rang on the floor, it was about partying for 2 days. You had to be at work on Monday. If you weren't at work, if you weren't coherent and, you know, act responsibly, you lost your seat on the floor. My boss would have just cut you off, and you lost your customers. So it was a Friday and Saturday night thing, but it was Friday and Saturday. I mean, it was to the utmost. And back then, it's so much different than now, Tim, because, you know, it was about alcohol and coke. There was no crack. There were no pills. It was some heroin, but no one used it. I mean, that was like, you know, that was hands off. But cocaine was a thing of the 80s. I spent a lot of time down in Houston at that time. We had an office down there. And it was all about the same thing down there. I mean, I remember the Club Elan at a restaurant called Boccaccio, where, I mean, everyone was doing cocaine in the places.
Wow, kind of two different stories of from Wall Street in Houston. What does it feel like being on the floor of the exchange?
Oh, it's an adrenaline rush. I would actually, you know, when you have a passion for something and you really like it, you love mm-hmm. it, you do it to the best of your ability. I mean, I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning looking forward to going to work, and I didn't get done until 7 o'clock at night. I had I would shower up. I'd be ready by 5, get the 5:23 or 6 o'clock train. I'd be on the floor by 7:30. Market opened at 8, and then you run right through till 4 o'clock when the bell rings, and you do all of your out trades, which are errors. You know, if you make some mistakes, you clear them up. And then mm-hmm. get on the train and go home. That was my life.
Wow. And no breaks. You just go continuously.
Nope. Just drinking coffee all day in the pit. That's it. And then on Friday, all of the seriousness that you spent on yourself and your job all week just went out the window, and you were just a different person.
So you actually transfer yourself into a different world to relieve all this distress that you've worked for 12 hours a day pretty much, and then you just party entire the weekend, then get yourself coherent in order to deal with the next day on Monday.
Yeah, and you know, you transfer that whole vision into the life of people like my daughter and people in the limelight, or people in general. Because we drink and do drugs to celebrate, we find a reason to celebrate, or else we do it to drown the sorrows and numb the pain. And it's a very in-depth conversation when it comes to addiction, which I'm sure we'll get to. But mm-hmm. it all leads to a traumatic moment in your life when people don't realize it, but it affected you to the degree that you flip the addiction switch, and that's when it starts. And that's a problem with rehabs. They treat addiction with more drugs. When you go into a rehab, you're supposed to get off drugs and alcohol, but when you go in, they put you on medication just to get off the drugs and alcohol, and you leave the place addicted to medication.
Wow, that's interesting. Which is more potent, alcohol or cocaine?
Oh, God. You know, drugs are drugs, no matter how you look at it.
Okay.
I will state this, and this is a fact, it's a statistic, that more people die from detoxing from alcohol than any drug in the world. So you have a legal substance, and more people are dying from detoxing it, from it than anything. I mean, heroin and cocaine, you can detox off those from 3 to 5 days. But then again, pills can take years. Prescription medication, benzodiazepines, opiates, amphetamines can take years to detox off of. So you tell me what's worse. I mean,
wow.
It seems to me that the things being written, legal things, whether it's alcohol or scripts written by doctors, are the ones that are killing people.
Absolutely. What does it feel like if you take a person in a moment, for the people who don't understand how addiction is, and what does it make your body feel like? What does it bring you to a world that people can't comprehend?
It depends which drug, you know. For me, drinking just made you feel good, and then you would chase the high by doing cocaine. Because then, you know, when you drink and you use coke, you straighten up almost immediately, and then you can drink more. And that feeling goes on and on. But after a while, the effects of cocaine as a stimulant just keeps you up, and it's a horrible feeling when you stop doing it. It's the same for most drugs. I mean, detoxing from anything or coming down off of something is horrible. But don't forget, cocaine is a psychological. It affects you psychologically. It's not physically addicting. Alcohol, prescription drugs, heroin are physically addicting. You physically have to detox from them, and you have to wean off them. Where cocaine, you can just stop, and, you know, you're going to feel the effects of it, but you're not going to die from it.
Wow. And tell us about, you know, you've been promoting substance abuse awareness. Kind of tell us about that particular project you've been working on.
Well, there's a couple of different aspects of it. I'm an interventionist. When people have a problem with a family member or a friend, or one of their kids, and they need someone to come in and encourage them or get them, convince them to go into rehab, that they have a problem, a life-threatening problem that not only affects them, but there's a lot of collateral damage with their families. They call me, and I go in, and I try to make sense of it to them. And based on my own experience and people I know, I think that people that have been down that road are the best ones to talk to people about getting better and what their the seriousness of their addiction is. I liken myself to everything they do. I'm no better, no worse. I'm the same as they are. I don't care if they did heroin or pills, and I drank and did coke 20 years ago. We're the same people. We have a problem. We have a disease, and I put myself on their level, and I look at them eye to eye, not any better or any worse than any of them, and I get them to really, really feel what I feel and establish that connection so that they can, you know, they can really relate to what I'm saying.
What do you actually tell the person when you when the family comes to you for the intervention? What do you actually tell the family what to expect during this intervention?
It depends, but a lot of resistance for the most part, denial, and breaking through that wall and having people see, look in the mirror and see the true person that's inside of them, who they are, deep inside, and what they are superficially on the outside from the drugs. Look, we all have that seed of goodness. I will say this. Without God, nothing is possible. You need God in your life. You need that spiritual element that's going to get you through any addiction and keep you clean and sober. If you don't have that in your life, you know, you're looking, instead of looking down at the grass, you're going to be looking up at the roots.
People who don't have that spiritual component, who don't have any belief in anything, how can you convince them or kind of express to them there is another side or there is a spiritual element to this if they just non-believers whatsoever?
Lead by example. Let them know what I went through in my life. I guess your example can be a Bible that no one's ever read.
Mm-hmm.
And I was raised Catholic. I always believed in God.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't read the Bible as much as I should have. But, you know, I had that seed in me, but there's a scripture in Revelations 2 that tells you that God knows your patience, your endurance, everything you've done, your hard work. But it says then that I have this one thing against you. You've forgotten your first love, which is God. And when you forget, God will, if you realize that, he will bring you to new heights if you turn your life around and you look toward him. I had 7 years clean before February 23rd of 2004. And unfortunately, my daughter was in a bad situation while shooting, just my luck. She actually overdosed, and I panicked, and I relapsed, and I had three drinks. And I was racing. I went to my house, and I got an object, and I was getting on a private plane. I was going down to New Orleans, and I found out who the person was that gave her the drugs. And I thought she was dead. I was going to kill this person. And by the grace of God, I was driving at 80 miles an hour, and I drove directly into a telephone pole. And my heart stopped. They had to resuscitate me. And I had an experience, an epiphany that I never, never, never have forsaken my whole life. And from that point on, I went to Bible college, became a minister. I went to Teen Challenge, which is a one-year faith-based program, became staff there. And from that point on, I've just been, doing ministry work and charity work and addiction work.
What are some horror stories that when you actually try to do an intervention with a family and anything just really stands out, they're not hearing you, they're not resisting you. Is it always the same course or is it something that have stood out to you and say, this has been the worst intervention I ever had with someone?
A couple come to mind. One is, when a kid or a person excuses themselves to a bathroom and then locks the door and tries to kill themselves. That's one occasion. Another one is there was a kid, a teenager, that actually bolted for the door and was running down the street high as hell. He was going to die anyway in the condition he was in. I had to chase him down and block and tackle him. What else? People calling you on the phone. It was very public. There was a very dear friend of mine that got in a very bad position with his ex-wife, mm-hmm. who's going through a divorce, and he actually had his little son at knife point, and I was in New York, and he was in Philadelphia, and I had to get him on the phone and get him to go to his dad's house. But at his dad's house, I had the police waiting, and they arrested him, put him into a psych ward. And after 72 hours of observation, he got out and he got treatment, and now he's I'm actually seeing him next weekend. He's doing really well.
Wow. We'll take a break real quick and be back again with Michael Lohan.
Thanks, Tim.
You're listening to The Core Business Show, sponsored by Apple Capital Group. Apple Capital Group in Jacksonville, Florida is a commercial lender that specializes in asset-based loans, equipment leasing and financing, invoice financing, commercial real estate loans, and asset-based financing in the U.S. and Canada. Apple Capital Group is a direct lender that lends on their private equity investment portfolio. 90% of most loans are decided within 2 hours, and vendor funding within 24 hours after documents are completed with a one-page application. No slow no's, just a quick decision and a fast yes. To get more information about lending from Apple Capital Group, call 866-611-7457. That's 866-611-7457 to speak with one of our loan specialists. Or visit us right now at applecapitalgroup.com. Welcome back to The Core. Once again, here's Tim Jacquet.
We're back again with Michael Lohan, father, actor, and entrepreneur. I guess this kind of segue into your particular career. You have done some things in acting. And how did you get from acting into being an entrepreneur?
Well, actually, it was the opposite. Well, when I was 17 and 18, I was on a soap opera called Another World. Lindsay was on Another World. I was in college, in high school, going into college. I didn't really like that whole genre, that atmosphere, the environment. And I went to college. I played lacrosse. And from there on, you know, then it was law school and the commodity exchange. I don't like to say that I'm an actor because I'm not. I was on Celebrity Rehab, and I only did it so people would get a message from what I was going through and what I had been through. There's a couple of opportunities, I think, starting August 6th that I've been – offered a couple of shows to do, series, that are all promoting, you know, only good things, and they send a positive message. And that's the only reason I'll get involved is to, you know, like we're doing now, is to send out a positive message. If it's all about Lindsay, if it's all about entertainment, no, I'm not interested. But if it's about sending a message and doing God's work, I mean, I believe I'm an ambassador in chains. That's right out of the Bible, meant to minister, meant to lead people to God. Then I'm going to do it.
When did you find yourself, your calling into ministry? You know, as Roman Catholics, as I am as well, we have a different way of thinking things. And, okay, you have to have this, you have to have that. And our spiritual journey, it starts from birth, from baptism to the rest of our life. What was your epiphany when you felt like you needed to be into the ministry?
Well, it was when I hit that pole and I died in a car accident. I just realized that God took my life from me. He knew I was going to go down there. He knew I was going to go and kill this guy. And he took my life and he gave it back to me. There's no reason. I mean, I was only 0.12. I wasn't drunk. I was just tipsy. It's just over the limit. I mean, up here in New York, up in New York, it's 0.8, and I was 0.12. But anyway, 0.08 and then 0.12, I'm sorry. But that was my epiphany, and I just see things differently. I see that, you know, look, I was raised Roman Catholic, too, and I went to Bible college, and I'm Christian now. And let's face it, I mean, we're all, our roots go back to Judaism. And Christianity was born out of that when Jesus was born, and people believe that Jesus was the Messiah, that he's the Son of God, the Savior, and I believe that. But when I speak at a Catholic church, which I have in the past, I go in, and the first thing I'll say to everyone, all the contingency, is I'll say, how many of you really know God? And everyone puts up their hand. And I'll say, okay, put your hands down. Now let me ask you another question. How many of you read the Bible? And probably about 10-20% of them put their hand up. And I say, okay, put your hands down. Now I want to ask you another question. How can you say you know God if you don't read the Bible? I mean, it goes without saying that when we're in school, we have to read our books for social studies, math, science, biology, and every other subject. We have to read the books and study it in order to know it. How can you say you know God if you don't read and study Him?
So, do you think the...
Go ahead.
Do you think that...
I was just going to say that when I went to Bible college, I found out so many things I was taught in Catholic school and in catechism that aren't true, they're not out of the Bible. The Bible tells us not to pray in repetition. And when we go to confession, they tell us to say 10 Hail Marys and 5 Our Fathers, to say the rosary. It says in the Catholic religion to also pray to saints. No, you don't pray to saints. You ask them to pray with you to Jesus, because in John 4:16 it says that Jesus is the truth, the way, and the life. The only way to the Father is through Him. It also says that when you want to confess your sins, you don't go through a priest. You confess directly to God through Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things that were established by Constantine in the Council of Trent that bastardized and paganized the Christian religion and turned it into Catholicism. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saying Catholicism is great because they do believe Jesus is the Savior. I do believe that, you know, it's a wonderful, wonderful faith. But there's a lot of things that they teach us in Catholicism that aren't according to the Bible.
Yeah, they're really, really into the traditions and history of the church.
Yeah, well,
and
they're also
they don't throw anything out. Yeah, they keep everything in.
Yeah.
If we segue real quick, I know that you want to talk about Lindsay's episode on the SNL rumors. I'm going to give you an opportunity to go ahead and talk about that.
Well, first of all, it is a rumor, and I did an interview this morning, and they cleared the whole thing up as well. They actually played part of the tape where the person, it was a blog out of Dakota that actually did it, a very small blog, and they said that I said when Lindsay was on SNL, she was on prescription drugs and she was flat. That's not the case. We were talking about drug addiction, and I said it's horrible that people go into rehabs to get off everything, and they come out on prescription drugs, and even it happened to Lindsay at Cirque Lodge. And when she came out, she was very flat. She had, like, this aura around her that didn't let her or allow her to be herself when it came to acting. And I said it affected her and her acting ability, and that's why she didn't work for a while. And then they lit right into SNL and said, well, she looked flat on there and so on. I said, no, that's not the case. She was straight. But they twisted it, and then my ex-wife heard about that interview, and she put it out there to a very, very big website called Huffington Post, and then it became viral, making it sound like I said my daughter was on prescription drugs, which was not the case.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about your daughter that people don't really know about her.
Lindsay has the best heart you'll ever meet, and she has the best heart, the most caring heart, the most loving heart. She, as a matter of fact, to show where she's come to again, the 180 she's done, she was actually on the phone with my pastor from Teen Challenge, Jimmy Jack. Teen Challenge is a one-year faith-based ministry that I went through, and it's all about the Bible and letting God get you through everything. And they have the highest recovery rate in the country of anyone that goes through a recovery program or a rehabilitation program. So that says enough in itself. If you're just basing everything on God and no prescription drugs, you have a better chance of getting through your addiction and on with your life. But Lindsay has, she's come full turn. She's back into her faith. She knows she's gifted. She called me the other night when she was right off set, and she said, Daddy, I said, you sound great, honey. She goes, Dad, I'm doing what I want to do. She said, I'm doing the things that I love the most. And she's the kind of person where when she was younger, before I was divorced, we would do a lot of charity work with Save the Children, with Make-A-Wish Foundation, with, you know, a lot of different agencies. We were in Disney, California. Hold on one second. Randy, I'm in the conference room. We're doing the interview.
Are you in the arena?
Yeah. I'm sorry. Not a problem, honey. Bye. Anyway, I'm sorry. That was Randy. She's going to be joining us on the phone. She does She works for, she's the owner of Zazz Events, and she does a lot of the charity work and production we do to help other people.
Okay.
But anyway, we were at Disney doing primetime on one occasion in Anaheim, California, and there were a bunch of people in line getting autographs, and there was one person, it was a kid, in a wheelchair, and he was, paraplegic, quadriplegic, whatever, and Lindsay spotted him. And she looked at me, and she said, and she put her head on my shoulder and whispered, and she said, "Daddy," she said, "please have that boy come up front." And he came up front, and she just started to cry in my arms, literally cry in my arms. And that's the kind of person she is. Her heart goes out to other people. Look, at, she was when she was at the Correspondents' Dinner in Washington, D.C., it was publicized, and she didn't put it out there. She was in the bathroom. There was an older woman who was cleaning the bathroom who worked there. And she said, "What are you doing cleaning?" She goes, "You shouldn't be doing this," because it was an older woman. She was in her 70s. And the lady said, "This is my job." And she said, and Lindsay took $100 out of her purse and gave it to her. That's the kind of person she is. She just feels for other people.
Wow. I guess it makes you be proud, that as being the father, I mean, she has a really successful career. And even that, I don't think she even has reached her peak yet. I mean, she's still young. She has time to continue to do a lot of great deeds, a lot of movies, TV shows, you name it. How does it feel being a father and knowing that even if she has some struggles, but she has been real successful?
Listen, with as much given, as much required. That's right in the book of Job. Mm-hmm. And if you don't use it right, what God gives you will take it away. And she realizes that. A lot of addicts, I don't care if you're famous or not, are very, very gifted people. For the most part, most of them are, whether it's in acting or music or writing books or just in a sport or just creatively. They are very, some people are genius. Look at Edgar Allan Poe. They're gifted people. And, she realizes her blessing and she's come full turn, and people just have to, you have to let your real self out. You have to be able to look in the mirror and not just see the man in the mirror, but see inside that person.
What advice do you have as a parent, as they're going to have a child that comes through the system who wants to become an actor or wants to become a model? What advice will you give them to understand how this industry works?
Okay, well, let me preface it by saying this. When I left the floor of the exchange and started working for my cousin's investment bank, there were a lot of deals that came to the table. One was financing the Brooklyn Navy Yard, making a movie studio, which is now the largest on the East Coast. Another one was financing right down there in Dallas, Texas, the studios at Las Colinas. The owner was Chris Christian, and we helped raise the $10 million he needed down there. And another project, a lot of things involve charity in our life. And I like doing things to help other people. We've gotten involved in a lot of things that are, especially the rehab business, and helping people and leading them in the right direction.
Wow. We're going to take a break in one moment real quick, and we'll be back, and hopefully Randy will be online. Does she need to call the studio, or we need to call her?
I can probably have her call the studio. She's on her way here. She had a meeting this morning, but I'll call her. What's the studio number that she should call on, Tim?
She can call at 347-324-3460.
3460. Perfect.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We'll take a break real quick, and we'll be back in a moment.
All right, you got it, buddy.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Core Business Show, sponsored by Apple Capital Group. Apple Capital Group in Jacksonville, Florida, is a commercial lender that specializes in asset-based loans, equipment leasing and financing, invoice financing, commercial real estate loans, and asset-based financing in the U.S. and Canada. Apple Capital Group is a direct lender that lends on their private equity investment portfolio. 90% of most loans are decided within 2 hours, and vendor funding within 24 hours after documents are completed with a one-page application. No slow no's, just a quick decision and a fast yes. To get more information about lending from Apple Capital Group, call 866-611-7457. That's 866-611-7457 to speak with one of our loan specialists. Or visit us right now at applecapitalgroup.com. Welcome back to The Core. Once again, here's Tim Jacquet.
We're back with Michael Lohan,
324,
entrepreneur.
3460.
And we're going to talk to him real quick and talk more about his business and his projects that he's been working on. And we'll have him back on the phone in a few moments. But again, Michael Lohan, which is the his entrepreneur, done a little acting. He was on one of my favorite shows back in time, besides Wall Street. Wall Street has been a traitor, but also he was on As World Turns. So anyway, we'll reach back out to him in a few seconds and talk a little bit more. We're going to add Randy Goh. She is an executive at 3M, M3 Productions out in Florida, and we will put them back online in a few seconds. Hey, Michael?
Yes, is she on?
Okay, yeah, she's coming on right now. That's okay.
Okay, great.
Hi, guys.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, Randy.
Good morning. How are you?
Great, and yourself? Thank
I'm
you for joining
fantastic.
The program today.
Absolutely.
I guess we're great. We're just going to continue the conversation. I was talking to Michael regarding media and productions, and he was talking about that you guys normally help him with some other projects. Can you talk about the, I guess you guys kind of lead the conversation about what type of projects you guys work on?
Sure.
Yeah,
Randy is Randy's in the program with me. She's an amazing, amazing person. I love her to death. She owns a company called Zazz, Z-A-Z-Z Events, and you can go to zazzevents.com to see what they do, and also M3 Productions. And they're both companies that focus on production and doing events. Because we're doing a lot of charity events ourselves with what we're doing, Randy has gotten behind it. And our company, there's a couple of projects we have. One is a pharmaceutical company that I'm involved with. That's a topical anesthetic. It's not a prescription drug. It actually is one of the best things out there to bring down swelling, promote healing, and take pain away. It's going to be a household name called Paxonite. Randy and her team are leading the marketing for that company. And then we're doing a really big charity event, which we're turning into a series, we hope, with a major network, which involves celebrities and professional race car drivers, whereby a lot, 10 different charities will benefit from it. I'll let Randy really expound on what we're doing with them.
Okay.
Yeah, great to join the show today, and you know, it's great. I did meet Michael through the program, and you know, and it's been a blessing. In that, you know, you can really turn your life around and go on and you know, become great or greater and accomplish, you know, wonderful things. And, you know, our company, basically Zazz Events, you know, does big events and entertainment, from everything from staging and lighting to DJs and that type of work. And then on the M3 production video image side, we're a multimedia agency that's been in business basically for 30 years. And we do everything from concept to completion. So we can take a product, you know, that basically, you know, needs complete branding and create ideation and packaging for it, and turn it into from a website then to a commercial video, and basically launch it nationally. So, you know, we've worked with companies like Nations Health, Delta, and Procter and Gamble, and Bristol Myers, and done quite a bit for the pharmaceutical category in general. And just, you know, we really, and with Michael's charity event that he's working for, you know, we'll have an opportunity to use both companies really to maximize, you know, what we do and help out in every aspect.
Not to mention that when I came here for the first meeting, that one of her partners at Zazz happened to, or actually here at M3, was a professional race car driver himself. His name is Eddie Maddie. And it was like a blessing, because God just put everything in the right place for us, and it's only getting better and better.
Yeah.
Wow. So go ahead.
Rand?
Yes.
It's on you. You have the stage, darling.
Oh, thanks. No, thanks. It's funny too because really Andy Pilgrim is a client of ours, and he's a famous race car NASCAR driver as well. And you know, he jumped in and just said, you know, I would love to listen in on it. Between him and Eddie, you know, it's funny. It's like, you know, you wind up walking into these things, and not only, you know, we marketers, but we have these relationships, you know, in the sport. So that was kind of fun too. So it really, you know, it's good. You know, one of the things I love about advertising and marketing and big events is it's portable. You take it anywhere. You can do a lot with it. And, you know, with all the stuff that Michael's working on, and Michael, as you know, is also a genius in marketing. I mean, he puts these relationships together, and God's a big part of it. And then there's Michael. I mean, Michael basically connects the dots and maximizes everybody, you know, to their potential. So, you know, we're super excited about it. And with this Paxonite product that he's got going, I mean, there are testimonials that we see that we're going to be putting on the air and basically having people tell their stories about how this has changed their lives. And I think one of the reasons, you know, I jumped so quickly on board and wanting to be involved in this is that, you know, it's when you could truly help someone and you can use the power of the media to do that in telling a story, that's what this is all about. That's what I'm in it for because, I mean, you know, you see a lot of things out there and, you know, Michael will tie himself to something that he really believes in. And same here, ditto on that. I mean, I think that this is going to be life-changing for people and for people to be able to actually, you know, feel a difference made in their lives, you know, when it comes to pain and it's natural. I think it's a win-win for us. So, you know, it's fun. And I think we all know, you know, the media pretty well. And we all know that, you know, it could be something, you know, small that we're involved in or something big, but it's really the passion that's behind it that really mm-hmm. is going to make everything work. So that's the fun part for us.
You know, she's being very modest. She's giving me too much credit. I won't get into it, but Randy was actually a very big producer of the news in another part mm-hmm. of the country in a big city. And as a matter of fact, one of her dearest friends and partners is happens to be a news personality down here in Florida. And she brings so much to the table. And when I sit in meetings with her and her team, especially her, I can see her enthusiasm and her clock ticking and our mind going when we get involved in these things. And like we said earlier, Tim, I got up mm-hmm. at 4 in the morning to go to work on Wall Street because I loved it so much. You can see that when the people here believe in something, they love it so much. And, I mean, since I've met them, I mean, I get blasted with emails and ideas every single day. And mm-hmm. It just shows you that, you know, when hearts are in kind and you're striving to do something good, especially charitable, and give back, or a product like Paxonite that will help and change the world with people's health, there's a lot more to it than just business. There's a whole spiritual element, and, you know, you're giving back and you're helping other people.
So this particular drug that you guys are working on, is it from natural ingredients, or are they all synthetic, or kind of tell us about the... Just the outline, how did you guys make it up, the makeup of the drug?
We didn't make it up. Actually, the Tibetan monks have had it for thousands of years, and there's a gentleman that had come to me through my investment banking, my marketing experience. His name is Gary Reed. Gary used to be a Pittsburgh Steeler, and he got hurt playing football there, and he went on to the World Football League, and he mm-hmm. won a championship. Gary's family is from overseas, and they actually inherited and have this product, and it's all natural. It's made from all herbs. It's probably the most amazing pain reliever and anti-inflammatory I've ever experienced in my life. I was bitten by a poisonous spider in California, and the product was presented to me months before, and I never really used it. I didn't have need to use it, but when I got bit by the spider, I used it. And my skin was actually ulcerating and boiling. It took the pain away. And within 3 days, everything was gone. The rash. There was no sign that I was bit by a spider. And from then on, I was a believer, sent it out to other people. And like Randy said, we have testimonials from professional football players, from people that were sick, from a girl that was a quadriplegic that's now that had an operation on her foot. And it was swollen, and she couldn't walk on her foot. And she is, by the grace of God, she had stem cell treatments, and she is walking and talking and doing all the things. But the all the years of being, you know, a quadriplegic had her cramped up, and her tendons and her ligaments were all tightened up. And this Paxonite helped her tremendously. It's amazing what this product does.
Is it? Do you take it orally, or is it just an application you just apply to that spot?
No, do not drink it. I promise. It's not poisonous, so
okay.
Don't drink it. But it, I mean, I have used it for one internal application, and that's when I had a horrible, horrible cold, a head cold. I was just getting it, and Gary mm-hmm. told me to put it on a Q-tip swab and line the inside of my nose with it because that's where a cold begins, in your nose. And
mm-hmm.
within 24 hours, the cold was gone. Like I said, it's an anti-inflammatory, and there's healing and medicinal properties in these herbs. And let's face it, there's so many herbs out there that do wondrous work for us, but the government doesn't allow them out there because it'll kill the pharmaceutical industry.
So you think it's just because of the pharmaceutical industry just have that much tie and power in Washington, they really don't want certain things to get out?
Oh, absolutely. I worked in human trafficking for years with the UN. And there was a girl that worked with me that's part of my church, which is Times Square Church in New York City. And she was a professor and a scientist. And they actually have a cure, an actual cure for malaria that's from different kinds of grass that's grown. And they won't let them get it out there. They use it themselves, but they won't let them mass market it.
Well, when it comes to back, Randy, regarding M3 Productions and the way you guys put commercials and things together, how a person normally begins, like, for example, you take this particular product, the person having an idea, and all of a sudden you take it and make it into a commercial. Can you talk about that process?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, it starts out with, you know, really something from ground zero. Do they have a logo? Do they have a branding identity? And, you know, in this case, that they do, and we're working on that. And then, you know, can we tell a story, you know, through a commercial with and you know, and really be effective with it? And not just something where, you know, it's on for 30 seconds and just, you know, it's a 1-800 number or something like that. We're talking more in lines when you have a product like this, it's got to be at least a minute. And also, you know, something that Mike and I were talking about is you know, a 30-minute, you know, an infomercial, but it, you know, it's basically a half-hour show speaking from a point of testimonials. It really depends, Tim. It depends on what kind of product you're talking about, and do they have their brand set? Are they already established in a marketplace, but, you know, only certain people know about it? In this case, you know, when Michael and I were talking about it, plenty of people have used it. Celebrities have used it. You know, professional athletes have used it. And they're a success already, and we're saying, but that's great for them. But now how many people can they really help with this? So you sort of, like, drill down, you know, really into what you could make of it, and then go from there. So it could be something as small as, you know, a 10 or a 15 second spot sometimes, but in this case, it's something much more powerful that we feel like we really need to tell a story. And then, you know, you really take it from a PR perspective and then say, okay, can we approach stations and are they really looking to make a difference with their content? And that's a very touchy subject. You know, how do you mm-hmm. talk to them? And you don't want to really say, you know, I'm trying to get product placement. You want to, because it's really not. We want to have somebody come on that like this, someone that, you know, was paraplegic or somebody that had a huge impact from this product, and tell the story, because you want to know what? It probably can help somebody else. And from a community outreach standpoint, from a public outreach standpoint, how could you not want to tell that kind of story? If you have something that is truly life-changing, then you want to get out there. So this is like the fun part of it. It's not just your spots and dots putting something together. You know, it's not like, let's, you know, an automotive commercial, which, you know, I guess can be very effective, but this is something that is different. So, you know, we take different approaches, and then we'll have some clients. You know, we did a spot for Nation's Health with George Foreman, and you know, basically he partnered up with Bayer, and they had a contour meter that they wanted to be able to give away to diabetics under Medicare. So we drilled down and looked into where the top Medicare markets were and where Bayer was already spending, and then we co-op dollars, and we got, you know, the most bang for our buck, and we put a 60-second spot together, and we tested George Foreman in regional markets, and he tested very well, and guess what? They had smashing success. I mean, their call volumes were up for the 1-800 number that we designated to each market, and we did a national campaign targeted right in the Price is Right for adults 65 plus. and it did tremendous. And we placed it right in Showcase Showdown, which is also really fun, in the last 15 minutes of the show. So, you know, it really depends on the client, and that's really why I love what I do, is that you really have to sit down, understand what the client really, what their goal is, what do they have already in place, and if they want to make any changes. I mean, some people come in and say, I absolutely like the logo I have, I will not change it. And, you know, we say, well, we're not trying to call anybody's baby ugly. We're just trying to say, what do you think about this? And sometimes, you know what I mean? Sometimes they'll say, oh, geez, I never thought of that. But, you know, you have to be very careful with clients and with people because, you know, they put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears in what you know, they think may work. And you know what? That's where we come in and just really offer, you know, some ideas and see if they like it and go from there. And if they choose to just stay with what they want, you know, the good news is they signed off on that, and then, you know, hopefully they're willing to expand from there. So, you know, it's really just like any other business, it's really solution based. It's coming up with the best ideas. And, you know, in this day and age, you'd be surprised how many people don't even have a website. So, you know, we have a great team that builds websites and also does social media. I mean, I'm sure you guys, you know, you all do social media as well. You know, that's another big part of the element that we provide is, you know, how many people that we can, you know, fans we gain on Facebook for the client. And we create the Facebook page, obviously. How many people we engage on Twitter, which, I, you know, big companies like Nike. I mean, if you go to Nike.com and you look at Nike's Twitter and you look at their Fuel brand and you start drilling down on every single Nike piece that they have involved in Twitter, it's the engagement, the social engagement and the fan base that creates viral, you know, content for people. And so it's the 360 campaign, we call it. You know,
that was a very pointed statement because she just laid out the whole marketing strategy for us because we don't have a website and we're not linked into Twitter or Facebook yet. So I get it, Randy. We already accepted your proposal.
Yeah, exactly. It's just
quick.
Exciting.
They're the best at what they do. And like I said, she's very modest. She didn't even talk about the Gary Player the program they put together for him, which was a phenomenal success as well. But
Well, that was a charity event, exactly. That was, you know, everything from concept to completion for him, charity auction, you know, and celebrity event for his golf, you know, charity. So that's, you know, yet another element.
Wow. So when do you think the product is going to be out?
We're working on that now. We do have the point of purchase product that can go at five. We actually got a commitment to 5,000 locations, whether it be convenience stores, 7-Elevens, all over the country. CVS and Walgreens and GNC are waiting for us to have the final package done for them on the shelves. So it should be a number of months. It shouldn't be that long. I guess Randy has a lot, and her company, Zazz and M3, have a lot to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
But you can actually start looking on their website soon. Like I said, it's Zazz, Z-A-Z-Z, events.com. And what's the website for M3?
And if you go to M3, and it's spelled out, it's M-T-H-R-E-E.com, M3.com, or M3image.com as well.
Okay,
M3image.com.
Okay.
Yes.
Randy, anything you would like to leave us with? And then we're going to Michael for last words.
God has blessed me with a great opportunity. You know, I was a 20-year broadcast veteran running a major news operation, and unfortunately, you know, or fortunately for me, rather, you know, I had the disease of alcoholism, and I was able to get rehabilitated, work the steps, get a sponsor, and start my life, and it's been nothing but phenomenal miracles that happen every day. So, you know, I'm just an average person that had great talents, but unfortunately, if I wasn't willing to make it that superior change and take the spiritual path that I did and go to rehab and do what I needed to do for my life, I wouldn't be where I am today. So I feel blessed. And if anybody out there listening, you know, if you have a, you know, any kind of issues like that, there is help. And you meet people like Michael who really are blessed, you know, in your life. And like I said, I'm very grateful. And if anybody ever, you know, needs to reach out, I'm at randy.gold@m3.com. And it's m3image.com or zazzevents.com. And God bless everybody.
Well,
great. Thank you.
You're going to be getting a lot of emails, Randy.
Great. All righty then.
I was actually going to use this opportunity on the radio today. You think I came on to talk about all this stuff, but I was actually going to propose to Randy, but I found out she's committed already.
Michael, any last words you'd like to have or you want to leave us with?
Just I want to thank you. I want to thank Randy and all the people in my life that have helped change it and helped me to get on the path I'm on. I mean, I really believe that. My grandfather always had to say, "You tell me who you show me who you walk with, and I'll tell you who you are." And I surround myself with only good people now, and it's only been better. And I encourage my daughter to do the same, and she's been doing that. And I think that we're just an example of how, once you get on the right path and surround yourself with the right people, read Psalms 1. It tells you all about that. And it just, the people around you will affect your life in unfathomed ways. And the people that I've spoken to around here, especially Michelle sitting next to me and the staff here, have been an amazing testimonial in my own life. So I just want to thank everybody and encourage people to get the help they need and just be honest with themselves and everyone else out there.
Great. Thank you, Randy, and thank you, Michael. And hopefully I can get you guys back on the show, I guess, Randy, to talk about more about 3M,
yep.
M3 Productions, and
M3.
Also...
Yep.
Yeah, and if for example, Teen Challenge, and even if your daughter wanted to come to the show, Michael, we'd like to talk about her as well. Thank you, guys.
I have to make an appointment to get her on the phone. That's going to be a hard one. I have to fly to L.A. when I want to see her or talk to her.
Well, really appreciate it again. Thank you, guys, for coming on the show.
Thanks, Tim. God bless you.
Thank you. Same here. Take care.
Bye-bye. You too.
Bye. Again, it's been another production of The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. Everybody, thank you for listening for this 50-minute show. A lot of information, a lot of viewpoints to share. And again, if you want to download this episode, you can download it on Blog Talk Radio or on iTunes. And also on our website, blog.applecapitalgroup. Everybody, thank you for listening to the program. Have a great day. Take care.
Thank you for listening to The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. For more information about equipment financing and asset-based loans, visit our website, applecapitalgroup.com. That's applecapitalgroup.com. Or call us at 866-611-7457. We hope you'll join us for our next episode. And remember, you can always get to The Core via iTunes. You'll find all our previous episodes there. And thanks again for listening to The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.